The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend Mr. Joey Jamal and his wife in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she get married b'sha'at tova u'muslachat. And Zechut of the Limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of Nachat, Shalom Bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the Berachot. Amen. Daf Nun Aleph. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat of Ram Ben Esther, Rabbi Moshe Ben Nun, and Ruach Hashem Terechim Ben Eden. Amen. V'Haslachat Yaakov Ben Yosef. We begin today's daf Nun Amud Bet. And we are starting from a quote from the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yehuda Omer Begedolah. 18 lines from the bottom. Thank you. So Mishnah said, on a behemah gedolah, like a shor, we're talking about over here the keres, the outer keres, outer stomach, ripping to make it a terefah. So we said, on a big animal, so the shi'ud is going to be a tefah. You don't need the rov. But on a small animal, the shi'ud is rov, even if it's less than a tefah. That's how much the keres has to rip to make it a terefah. So the Gemara says, I'm going to be binyamin bar yefer. Amar bi al-azar lo gedola, gedola mamash, velo ketana, ketana mamash. That means when he said gedola, animal, he didn't mean gedola should be gedolot, biggest animal. When he said ketana, he didn't mean the smallest animal. Ela, kol shenikra ba tefach, the rules like this. Any time the keres of the animal is ripped a tefach, velo haviruba, and it's still not rov of the keres, zui shishaninu gedola tefach. That's what a gedola is. I mean, the keres basically is two tefachim. So therefore, any time that the tefach rips and still it's not rov, that means the animal is a gedola. Zui shishaninu begedola tefach. Now, ruba velo abi tefach. If let's say the majority of the keres, it's ripped, is torn, and it's not a tefach, that means the majority of it is not even a tefach, zoi shishaninu beketana beruba. That would be, for example, the keres is 1.9 tefachim. So therefore, less than 2 tefachim. Less than 2 tefachim.
1.99.
Right. Yeah. That's the point. And therefore, as long as rov is going to be less than a tefach, so that's ketana. Okay. So the Gemara says, ruba velo abi tefach b'shita. You have to tell me that. That's obvious. If it's rov, I mean, rov of the keres got torn, even though it's not a tefach, so what? It's rov. We know the law is rubo kikulo. So there's no chidush in telling me that if it's rov, even though it's not a tefach, that it's going to be terefah. So the Gemara says, lo tzericha davia tefach b'mashihu, which means we're talking over here where it went almost a tefach, but if it would just be a little more, it would be a tefach. Like I said, it's 1.9. So therefore, if you would do the rov, it's like, what, 0.9? So if you go a little more, it'll get to a tefach. So you might have thought in such a case, you got to go to a tefach, since it's right on the border. That's the chadush. Ma'o de tema, ad de mikra ba tefach, lo avi terefah. Maybe I say you got to take it to a tefach. Kama shmana, no. That, so long as it's rov, even though it's not a tefach, even though it's a small amount away from the tefach, it's still going to be a tefach. Amar geneva, amar bi'aseh, nikdera kesela. If let's say the keres, the outer stomach, got punctured the shi'ur of a sela. Sela is a coin that's like a round hole in it. Tefach. Shi'im timatach ta'amod al tefach. Because if you take this round hole, the size of a sela, and you make it long, it'll be the shi'ur of a tefach. Which means we know the shi'ur is a tefach. So a round circle, again, if you stretch it out and make it straight, it'll go shoot of a sailor this way, going mitiha, stretching it out will be the size of a tefah. So it's the same shiur, basically the tefah is the shiur. Amar bihaya bar abba ledidi mefarshi leminede geneva amabara deneherdea. He says, I heard from Geneva himself when we were walking over the bridge in Neherdea. Kesela kesela yater me kesela terefa. That's not a sela. Sela exactly is going to be still kesela. It's more than a sela that's going to be terefa. Vechama yater me kesela. How much more than a sela are we talking? Amar of Yosef Kegon, Da'ilin Tlat Kashiata Betzipa Bedochka Belotzipa Beravha. Which means you have three date bits. So if three date bits could fit through the hole, that's the shiur. Now there's different type of date bits. There's date bits that still have some of the meat on it. So then it's three of them that can fit through the hole. We have to push them through because they're a little bigger. But if they're totally bald, the date bits, they could fit through the hole easily. So one is bidukka and one is bidavha. If they have meat on them, so then it's bidukka. You have to, you know, press them through because it's a little bigger. And if they're empty, if they're clean, so then it's bidavha. They go through easily. Okay, now we go to the next subject of the Mishnah. Himses ubetakosot. Himses ubetakosot. Remember the betakosot? Betakosot is that, like that stomach that looks like the cups inside of it. So we have our Timunei Chol pictures. So that one there. Oh, okay, this is correct. This is today. Today is wiped out. I don't have anything from the Aleph that we didn't see already. It's all stuff that we know. Yeah, 59. Yeah, there's nothing. Because we've had all this already. So just to give you the Beta Kosot again, so you can see it. Yeah, Beta Kosot. This area over here, they're calling it the inside of the reticulum. Alright, basically you have this cup-like items over here, and on the outside, you're going to have the outer membrane. This is the key you have to know for this Gemara, the outer membrane of the Beta Kosot. We're going to talk about a needle going through. So they're going to, well, I'm going to say that it's only going to be a problem if it also punctures the outer membrane of the Beta Kosot. Not only if it just goes through here, it's got to go through. So Gemara says, Rabbanan Mahat, Shenemset Be'ovi Beta Kosot. We found the Mahat in the wall of the Beta Kosot. Mitzadehad, if it's only coming out of one side, Kesherah. Okay, so basically it's got to come out of both sides.
It's coming from the inside out?
Inside out. Read it again. מצד אחד של דופן הכפולה שנמצאת תעובה רק בדופן הפנימית. It's on the inner wall ובולטת כלפי פנים בית הכוסות, and it's going into the בית הכוסות ולא נקבעת דופן החיצונה.
It didn't penetrate the
outer membrane. So it's only on the inside. So keshera, because the dofen haitzuna remained complete. That's the whole point. So once the dofen haitzuna gets punctured, then you have a problem. Mishne stadim shel dofen kefula shenegba gam et dofen haitzuna vibolet gam lachutz atoch halal aguf, which means it went through the betakos, so through the membrane. Now it's out in the body already. See that the point is already sticking out into the body, that already it's a terefa. Now the deen is like this. Nemsa aleha. Oh, now I have a problem. When did this happen? Because if it happened after shechita, it's not a terefa. So how do you discern when the puncture took place? So the Gemara gives a rule there. Nemsa aleha kort dam. If you see blood on the needle, then already be yedua shelifne shechita. Then it's got to be done, had to be done before the shechita. Because a nekev if the shechita is not going to show blood. Now, lo nimsa alea kordam, if you didn't find blood on it, be yadua shelahar shechita. And therefore it's going to be kishira. So that's the blood test. You see if there's blood on it or there's no blood on it. So comes Gemara and says, higlid pi hamaka. Let's say you see on the makkah there was a hole, but the scab formed and it It closed it up. Like a membrane came on the hole. Biyadua shishilusha yamim kodem shechita. So you know that for sure that this happened 3 days before the shechita. That it got nikab. Because by the time, it takes 3 days for this to happen, for it to make the skin. So when you make the shechita and you see this, so you know that this happened 3 days before. Now, what do we have to know this for? Let's say the shochet went and bought the animal less than 3 days. Okay? He bought less than 3 days before he made the shechita. So for sure it was a terefa already at the time that he bought it. And therefore he can go back to the guy that sold it to him and tell him, mekach ta'ut. And therefore he can get his money back. Because the scape is no good. The animal's a terefa. So he says, oh, maybe it happened after the shochet got it. No. But when he slaughters it, if he slaughtered it within 3 days from when he bought it, so for sure it was a terefa from before. Because it takes 3 days for it to become a scab. So then we can ask for his money back. Okay.
Can he still benefit from it?
No, he was buying it for shechita. That was his shechet. He's buying it for the meat. So he can't sell him something that was a terefa.
Saying the animal can't work with the scab.
No.
But it doesn't matter, it's artificially closed up. So comes Gemara and says, which
means, now let's say lo iglid piyamaka, he made the shechita, you see the hole over there and it's not yet it's not yet scabbed, and there's dam on the needle, and there's dam on the needle, that already is a sign it could have happened before the shechita. So now it's possible that this happened after he bought it. So now the rule is, you want to return it, so the seller can say, you burden of proof is on you now. I'm holding the money already. You want to take the money out of my pocket, you want a refund, prove to me that the hole happened before you bought it. So since he cannot prove it, so therefore the sale is final.
Wouldn't it be a scab? Well, it's not automatic.
No, it's not automatic. That's the point. That's the point. It's not automatic. Which means sometimes
it's after 3 days.
No, assuming that it's within the 3 days. It's within the 3 days. So still, the Mefarshim are going to say that it's not automatic 100% that the body is going to produce the scab. They say that. The fact that you don't see a scab there doesn't prove automatically that it's less than 3 days. Sometimes the moisture of the body stops the scab from growing. Even if he bought it more than 3 days before he did the shechita, it's the other way. It still could be a safek, could be it was a terefa at the time. It just didn't grow a scab at the time. But you can't prove it. And therefore, so therefore the sale is fine. No. So now the Gemara goes into another point. Umay shena mikol nikube de alma. De'af agav de lekadam terefa mor. So the question is like this. Why is it different than any other nekiv? All other nikabim, all other holes, we never discussed blood or not blood. What was said, is there a hole, not a hole? Here we're coming along and saying that if there's no blood, so then you know it's kishera, because it had to be after it, after the shechita. But all the other holes that we talked about, the nikabim, we never discussed that if there's no blood, it's going to be kishera. We just said if there's a hole, it's a terefa. So comes the governor and says, Hatam. Leka mide le misrach, acha kevan deika machat im ita kodem shaita u misrach havasarich. On the other nikabim, there's nothing. There's no place for the blood to stick, because just a hole. So therefore, the blood is just gonna. Could be there was blood, and the blood just went into the body system. It just dissipated back into the body. Mashiach in here, there's a needle. And therefore, if there was blood, the blood would stick to the needle. There's something where the blood can stick to. And therefore, if you don't see blood, must be it's a kishera. Between not seeing blood in another hole is no proof. Because could be there was blood there, But where's the blood? Next to the hole? Now where's the blood? The blood moved back into the body system. It didn't stick to anything. Mashiach, when you see a needle, so the blood's going to stick to the needle. So therefore, that's an indication. If you don't see blood, then you know it must have been after the shechita, because it would have stuck to the eye, and that was there. That's the Gemara's answer. Amar leir al safar abaye. Hazeh mor, haitzul bam rabbanan, da'atim im araba. The Gemara tells an interesting story. There was a Tamir Hakam that came from Eretz Israel. The Amar, he said, Rav Avira Shemani. My name is Rav Avira. The Amar, and he said a story. Maase uba lefnei Rabbi. There was this case. They came in front of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Mahat shenimsa be'ovi bet hakotzot mitzad ehad. That the needle was only coming out of one side, the inner side, b'tarfa. And Rabbi said, terefa, which is hadush. Because we learned one side is not enough to make a terefa. It's got to come out of the outer membrane. So Abaye heard this. He says, wow, this rabbi's coming from Eretz Israel. He's quoting Rabbi to say a tremendous hadush. Shalachle. So Abaye called this rabbi. He wants to talk to him. He wants to see what kind of shita is this over here. Lo atalegabe. Rav Avira didn't show up. He didn't come to him. Azalu legabe. So Abaye went to Rav Avira's house. Hava ka'e a'igra. Rav Avira at the time was on the roof. Aman nihut mor v'nete. Please come down. Lo nahit. He didn't come down. Saliku legabe. So Abaye climbed the roof. He went onto the roof. Amar le, em ali gufad uvda hechiyava. Could you tell me exactly the case? You quoted Rabbi. Could you give me the exact story how it was? Amar le, maftir kinesiyot ana. He says, I was the shamosh of the Bet Knesset, of the Bet Midrash, where Rabbi used to teach. The shamosh's job was like to tell the students what time the shiur is going to be, to set the chairs up, to ring everybody in the place. Anyway, the ayinam Rabbi Rabba. I was that. I had that job in front of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Rabba, the great Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaGadol. Va'avar Rabbuna Sipura'a, the Rabbi Yosef Madda'a, Yosefim Lefarab. One day the two rabbis were sitting in front of Rabbi. Ubat Lefa'le Rabbi Mahat Shenimsa Be'obi Bet HaKosot. And Mahat came to Rabbi in the Bet HaKosot, Mitzad Echad. That was just coming out on the inside. Va'afakha Rabbi. So Rabbi turned it over. U'matza'a Adea Kordam. And he saw that there was actually blood on the needle. The tarfa, the amar, and he said, "Im en sham makah kor dam minayin." If the needle hadn't penetrated the outer membrane, where would the blood come from? Which basically he told him that the Rabbi was not saying any hadush. That the case was where it penetrated the outer membrane. So what does Abaye say? You troubled me to come all the way up to the roof. For nothing, for no chadush, amar le tarach. This should be tarche. Tarach tarche lahu gabra. You inconvenienced and you toiled this man, meaning himself, for nothing. Matitini. Sorry, that's bifirush mishnah. Himseis u'metakasut shenekimu lachutz. That's the trefa. He thought the Rabbi was saying some sort of hadush. Well, he climbed the roof. And what did he tell him? He tells him a simple case. Yeah, the outer membrane was punctured. Hazak Baruch. Then he made me climb the roof to come here. This alakha. What do you see from this Gemara over here? But you see how much the Hachamim cherished the Divrei Torah. He went after him. He climbed up the roof just to find out one statement of what Rabbeinu HaKadosh was. That means the Chochmah was so endearing to the Hachamim that they would go to all extent in order to hear it and analyze it. Okay. Now, Flamen Agag. Remember that was a case of the Mishnah. The animal fell off the roof. Doesn't have to be a roof necessarily. It could be any place. New story. Period. Right.
That's right.
He didn't fall off the roof, right. Now, Flamen Agag. The animal fell off the roof. Or for that matter, any place that is higher than 10 tefachim. So the Mishnah said, it's terefa, because you're worried that maybe the inner bones got crushed. Risuk abanim. So now the Gemara is going to discuss the issue of it. What are we concerned about? What happened? Amar avuna, hiniya behema lemahala. You left the animal on top of the roof. Uba umtzata lemata. And now you see the animal is not on the roof. En hosheshin mishum nisuke ebarim. You don't have to suspect that it fell off the roof and it broke its bones. And therefore, if you slaughtered it within 24 hours, it's kishera. Normally we say, when the animal falls off the roof, we're going to learn, you have to wait 24 hours to see if the animal's still okay. After 24 hours, you can slaughter and make bedikot. But within 24 hours, you cannot make shechita. In this case over here, where you didn't see it fall, you just saw it on the roof, then you saw it on the floor, you don't have to assume that anything bad happened to it. Even if you slaughtered it within 24 hours, and you made the bedikot, it's going to be kashera. Look at Rashi. Haimi, Nemala, Degag. Right in the middle. Because you found it on the ground. That you knew how, we didn't see it. But you don't have to suspect that maybe the bones of the animal got crushed. And then you have to wait 24 hours. Kedin. Right. In this case, you have to assume that he didn't fall off too. He jumped. So when the animal jumps, it's more like a controlled fall. And therefore, you don't have to be choshesh shabal lisuk abani lisuk evari. Okay. Yeah, he says over here, im kafsa bekabana, if he jumped off on purpose, en hashash for the suk evarim, afilim ena yikola la'amod, even though the animal cannot stand up. So he says, hey, something's going on inside this animal. Lefisha afilim ira la the suk evarim, even if it can't stand up, bevadai lo yiyah hamur kol kach shetamut, it's not going to die. Kivan she kafsa bekabana, since it was a controlled jump. So therefore, even if it has, pain and whatever, it has problems, not going to be severe enough to cause it to die.
What did the Mishnah say about Neflamin?
Neflamin Agagin said you have to choshesh per isuk abarim, and if we have to wait. No, that's Rashi Shita. It said Terefa. Correct, Terefa. Rashi Shita is Nefula Shehaita Asim Barba Sha'ot. If it lives 24 hours after the fall, that's a proof that there was no isuk evarim, and therefore you can, it's Keshera. That's Shita Rashi, the 24 hour rule.
Right.
Wait 24 hours, and then make the shechita. As long as you have to check the inside of the animal, of course. Now, the hardest shechita, it's okay. V'im amda, if it stood after it fell, it's muteret even if it was slaughtered within the 24 hours. That's the rule. The standing rule, that's it. So in this case, over the hadush is, that even though it fell off the roof, or you don't know if it fell off or it jumped off, but it's not on the roof anymore. The hadush is, since you didn't see it, you can assume that he controlled his fall, and therefore, even if he can't stand up,
really?
Yes, that's the hadush. Even if the animal can't stand up, so it's not going to die from these wounds over here. He hurt himself, but it's not severe enough that he's going to die. Therefore, you can make shechita even within 24 hours. L'shitat Rashi, ha'u gadia. What's that? A goat. Gadia. Ha'u gadia. Da'avanin Ravina. He was on the roof. The Hazia Hushla. He saw Hushla. Hushla was like barley. So he got excited. Bi'ipuma. Standing on the roof. And he sees through the skylight. He sees like little barley down there. So the it's going to jump through the skylight in order to get to the barley. So what did he do? Dagar. Jumped. Nafal me'igra le'ara. So he fell from the roof all the way down to the ground. Atiyana kamed Rav Asher. So he wants to know, could he eat the goat? Amar le, hada amar Rav Unai miyach ne'emah le'mala uba mitzah le'mata, en hocheshim mishum nesuke evarim, mishum de'it le'mideh le'mesrach. Which means, maybe the reason why you said that when you leave an animal on a roof and then you come back and you find it on the ground, is because when the animal jumps off, we're assuming there's a wall over there where basically he's able to break his fall a little. So since he can break his fall, so therefore it's not so so severe. He can hold on a little. However, but this, he jumped right in the middle of the room. In the middle of the room, there was no place for him to break his fall. So therefore it could be worse. Or dilma mishum de'amda nafsha. or do you say no, that when it purposely jumps, it's a calculated fall, and therefore it won't hurt itself. It jumps in a way where that it won't get a deadly fall. So that's really the question. When you say that it falls off by itself and you didn't see it, is it because it breaks its fall somehow, or is it because a controlled jump it'll break it also? So it was Amar Le Mishum De Amda Nafsha. The high name amda nafsha. It's the second answer. The bottom on a controlled jump, the animal protects itself, and then even in this case also, even though there was no place for him to hold on to, but when the animal jumps off, it controls. Therefore, it's okay. Tahi imreta. Was that a sheep? Dava ber of Habiba. That was by the Habiba. Davu shadran kare bit rayata. The back legs, it was walking, but it was dragging its back legs. So something wrong with the animal. Amar Rav Yemar, hay shigrona nakte. It has a problem with
its cramp.
Right, cramp. That's a good way of saying cramped up. Ligaments over there. That's why he's. It's not the risuk evarim. Nothing to do with his bones broken. Matkif la ravina. Who told you that? Maybe the spinal cord broke, and therefore that's why he's dragging his legs, and therefore he's a terefa. Bedakua ashkehua kerabina. So they checked it, and sure enough, Rabina was right. It was a broken spinal cord that was causing it, and indeed, it was a terefa. Ba'afidu acher, but guess what? Even so, hilcheta kerab yemar. The halacha is like the first rabbi. Shigrona shchiyah, huta shidra lo shchiyah. It's common for the animal to have cramps, and it's not common for the animal to have a broken spine, and therefore you could assume the item that's more prevalent.
Okay, just check.
Maybe he can live with that. Isn't the whole
yeah, he can. A cramp is okay.
No,
huta shidra terefa. If you can huta shidra terefa, that's for sure. That's what the rabbi said. What are you telling me? Maybe his huta says they checked it in that case. It happened to be he was 1 in 1,000. He was right. But generally speaking, the Gemara says, it's going to be a cramp, you don't have to check. Amar Avuna. Zecharim. These are rams. Haminagim ze'edzeh. They're locking horns with each other. They're goring each other. Ein hosheshim mishum lesukeh evarim. You don't have to suspect that as a result of the goring of each other, that their bones got broken. Even though you see them in pain, midvu, they're in agony. It's only because they got a little fever as a result of the gorings. However, if they fell to the ground as a result of the gorings, then for sure you have to be choshesh. Okay. Now the language is Haishinan. What is Haishinan? You have to suspect. So he says, Mashma sheyesh lo din nefula lechol davar. Meaning that if it didn't stand as a result and it was slaughtered within 24 hours, you can't even check it. Meaning the law is once it doesn't stand within 24 hours, it's automatically a terefa. And after 24 hours, you'd have to make a bedika. Okay. It seems of the Ran learns, the issue is not that the goring caused the... It's the fact when it fell to the ground, it's a hard fall. And therefore, could be that's what did the... even though, interestingly enough, it didn't fall from ten tefahim. But I guess since it was pushed down, so the force of the... animal goring it when it gets pushed down, that already is the concern over here. Okay. Amar Rab Menashe, Hani Dikhre. Great case. Hani Dikhre de Ganbe Ganabe. These are rams that were stolen by thieves. They run into a guy's backyard. They grab the rams. Now they're running. Now what do? They would jump over the fence and they throw the rams over the fence into their section over there. So the, So the Gemara says, "En hosheshim mishum risuk evarim." Or better, they go into the guy's field, they throw it over his fence. They take the animals, and they just, because they want to steal them. So they throw it over the fence. Now the question is, when they chuck them over the fence, so they land on the ground. So could be this risuk evarim over here. So the Gemara says, "En hosheshim mishum risuk evarim ki shadu lehu amatnayu shadu lehu." When they throw them on the mutnai, what's that, their legs. Which means they throw them in a way where they're not going to break the animal so it can land, because they want the animal to run. They're in the middle of a theft in progress. So they throw it over the fence in a way that the animal could land properly and run away. But the Gemara says, why? So they can run in front of them. However, ahadrinu. But let's say they come along and return the gineva. So they took the animal and they throw it back over the fence to the owner. They make teshuba. So what's the law in that case? Vadai hashinan. Now they don't care anymore. Now they're returning, so they just throw it over the fence. Any which way to get rid of the gineva. Then you have to be hoshish that it landed wrong. And it's going to become a terefa. So the Gemara says a beautiful haluk over here. That's only when they returning it out of fear. Aval mahmat teshuvah me'elia tehuda avde. But if they're doing this, they really want to make teshuvah, so they're not going to hurt the animal. They don't want to return the guy animal and make it a terefa. So if it's because of fear that they get caught, they just want to get rid of the evidence. They just throw it over the fence and to the suke varim. But if they're returning because they want to make teshuvah, so therefore they throw it over in the proper way so it lands good. So you have to find out exactly what was the kavana of why they returned the animals. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav. Okay, this is an interesting case over here as well. Hikahu al rosha. You took the stick and you hit the animal on its head with the stick. And the, I guess the stick was long, so the stick reached all the way to its, to the tail. Here's the head, here's the tail, right? So you're hitting it, so the part of the stick hits the head, and the extension goes all the way to the tail. Or, aznaba ba'al klapei rosha, the reverse. You hit the tail, and the stick goes all the way to the head. Keneged kol ha'shedra kula. Or let's say the stick, the length of the stick hit the whole shidra, the spinal cord, the spine. In all these cases, where part of the stick hit the head, part of it hit the tail, or the middle of the stick hit the spine, we're not worried about isuke barim. Why? So the rule is like this. Only something that gets hit from the point of the stick, the head of the stick, where that's the impact, the main impact, that's what we're concerned about, the sukkos. The ikar kowach comes from the head of the stick. All these other cases over here, we're in the middle, then we don't have to be worrying about it. I mean, this hit it in the back, this hit it in the head, which we're not worried about it. Only if it would actually hit the shidra, which means, let's say, like Gemara says, it was a small stick. So therefore, when you're hitting the head, the tip of the stick hit the spinal cord, so then already you can make it a lisukavarim. Ve'ishelim hotra apalge de gaba. That means, let's say the stick was short, and it ended in the middle of the back of the animal. So the head of the stick hit the middle of the animal. Hashina. Ve'iit beketre hashina. Let's say the stick has knots coming out of it. So then every knot is considered like the head of the stick. So therefore, when you hit it, you're worried that a knot might have hit the shidra and never made it a terefa. Now, what's this line here? V'im mahye apaske hashina. How's he learn that? If you hit it to its width, yeah, explain that. What is it? How's he explain it?
The width of the back, rather than down its length.
Here's the length.
This way.
This way.
Right.
So you hit it this way to the width.
One part of the spine.
Okay, so it's not the whole length, but even at once, it's also a problem.
The impact is right on that.
On that spot that it hits it. Okay, so it's also an issue. Hashina. Amar Nachman, bet arechem. Okay, that's the womb. En bo mishum lisuke evarim. Okay, that's an interesting halakha.
Lecture mode on.
The law is like this. The animal is giving birth. So the baby animal is coming out of the womb. Now the womb is very tight. It's very narrow. So why don't you suspect that every animal that's born has lisuke evarim? Because you have to squeeze through the betarechem. And then you got to wait 24 hours before you slaughter it, and you have to, you have to be concerned. So the Gemara says, no, that's not going to cause lisuke evarim. The normal birth through the betarechem to the birthing canal is not going to cause lisuke evarim. Therefore, even if you slaughter it within 24 hours, you're okay. It's kasher without a problem. Amar le rabal rav Nachman, Tanya de Mesayalach. I'll bring you the ayah. The ayah is Tinok ben Yom Echad. Metame beziva, the isal kadatach yesh bo mishum lisuk evarim ikri kam besaro velo mahmat onso. Explain to you what this Gemara means. There's a law of a zav. Person has an emission coming out of his body, so he can become tame tumat zav. So the Gemara talks about a case where a baby that was a human baby that was just born and he has tumat zav already. Something came out of his body, and the rabbis discerned that it was zavud, so the kid can become tame zav. Now, we have a law by Zav. To be Tameh Zav, it has to come not because of external reasons. For example, let's say he ate something. There's some foods that can bring the Zavut, that doesn't make Tumat Ziva. It has to come naturally, not because of something that he did. So if you're going to tell me that being born creates Nisuk Evarim, that's why I became a Zav. He became a Zav because of Onso, because of external reasons. Therefore, the Gemara would not call him a Zav. From the fact that the Torah calls him a Zav at birth, must be what? That the birth does not make the child Nisuk Evarim. You understand the proof? Od pam. A Zav can only be a Zav if it came naturally without external reasons to cause the child to be a Zav. So it says, the kid's born, he can have Zavut. No. Why can he have Zavut? If you tell me there's Nisuk Evarim, that's why he has Zavut. Because his body was crushed on the way out, so that causes Zav to come. Ela must be, there's no Nisuk Evarim in a birth. That's the Gemara's Ra'aya. Now I can break this Ra'aya. Who told you that this kid that they're talking about was born from the birthing canal? Maybe it was a Syrian. That's the Gemara's answer. Gemara says, Hachem ha'askinan, kegon shiyatsa derech dofen. The old man's, how did they do Caesarean? They put a certain chemical on the mother's stomach that caused it to open up. To open. And then we take the baby out. Then we cut. How is that a cut? We put a sam. That's why they did it. So now, who told you that this case over here was talking about maybe really the birthing canal makes the suki varim? And the case of the kid that's a zav is talking about where he was a Caesarean birth. Look at that sheet. Derech dofen, haimi. Are you there?
I did sam.
Sam. Sam is that like chemical medicine that they put on the mother.
Uben hu, uben imoch, chayim.
Right, which they both live.
Then. En omar shalachah shemeta imoch, shosi uhu. The kaimalam, mesach nida, hu mayet, resha.
Right, don't. He's talking about a Caesarean. She's just explaining. Don't think it was a Caesarean after the birth. After her death. Meaning she died and they just cut her open and took the baby out. Because the Gemara said if she would die, the baby's going to die also. So they were talking about a case where they. There was a live Caesarean birth over here. Okay. So Gemara brings another case. Tashema, Eges Shenolad Biyum Tov. This is this interesting case. What's that? Kef, that was born on Yom Tov. Shohatin Oto Biyum Tov. You could slaughter it on Yom Tov. But what do you mean? It was born on Yom Tov. What about Mukseh? Going into Yom Tov, it wasn't there. So it's like Nolad. Nolad is a Mukseh. So explanation is, since it's in its mother's womb, mm-hmm. It's edible. Because if you slaughter the mother, you're allowed to eat the child without shechita. Don't you remember the law? The law is that as long as the animal's inside and you just slaughter the mother, the child becomes... Now, so therefore, since it was edible, agav imo, so therefore it's not considered mukseh, therefore it comes out on Yom Tov, you're able to eat it. Oh! And obviously you don't worry about isuk evarim. Because if you're worried about isuk evarim, you'd have to wait 24 hours. You'd have to wait before you eat it. And it's this time it was born on Yom Tov, slaughtered on Yom Tov. Correct? kaname kegon sheyatza derech dofen. Same answer. It was a cesarean birth. That's the case where we're letting you eat the animal on Yom Tov. So therefore, there's no hashash of isuke barim. Okay, catch up on nashi. I mean, I guess shelola biyom tov. Right, no problem with the isuke barim. Give us answers that you still have the issue of cesarean birth. Okay, one more proof. Tashema. Okay, this is a Bechor. Bechor Behema Tehora. That is born on Yom Tov. The Shavin, everybody agrees. She'im Nolad Hu Umumu Immo. Let's say the animal was born, the Bechor, it has a blemish. It's born with a blemish. Sheze Min Hamukhan. That is considered prepared and it's not Mukseh, and therefore you can slaughter it and eat it on Yom Tov. Well, so it's the same concept over here. Which means, normally, a Bechor has to go to the Beit HaMikdash. But if it has a blemish, it's edible. You can make Shechita even outside the Azara. So the Hadush over here is, if it had a blemish from birth, so therefore it was already not Mukseh. So therefore it was born on Yom Tov, no problem. So you see again, it means you're eating it on the same day that it was born. Maybe that's the same answer. She yatsa derech dofen. Oh, that was a Syrian bird. Derech dofen mikadosh. Derech dofen is not a bechor. You wouldn't call it a bechor if it came out Caesarean. How do we know that? Veha amar b'yohanan modeh ya Rabbi Shimon inyan kadashin she'no kadosh. Which means Rabbi Shimon holds by a regular birth, by a Caesarean birth, that's a birth. What do you mean Rabbi Shimon holds it by a human being? If a lady gives birth to cesarean birth, Rabbi Shimon says it's a birth and she's teme'ah like a regular lady that gave birth, a natural birth. That's by a human being. But even Rabbi Shimon that says a cesarean birth is considered like a regular birth, he agrees by Bechor, it's got to come out naturally. And therefore, nobody's going to hold that you would call it a Bechor in this case over there. And therefore, we see why you can eat the animal on the same day that it was born. Therefore, you don't choshesh for the Sukkim Harim. I mean, read the Rashi's.
Meshavin, Tanai, Pligim Masachbis. Gabe Bechor, Shinolad Bo Mum, Yom Tov, Meshavin, Tatil Hauser, Benolad Bo Bayom.
Which means, this is a machloket if the animal got a mum on Yom Tov. He was born and got a mum on Yom Tov. So even the rabbis that say no good if it came out then got a mum, they'll agree if it got the mum in the womb that it's okay. Continue. Mishum. No, not a yom umumor imor. Was born with a mum. It was never asur. It was always permissible. In the case where it was born then got a mum, when it went into the Yom Tov, it was asur. You were only able to eat it in the azara. Because it was kadosh. Mashiach was born with a mum, no problem. Right. The bechor doesn't have kedusha until it's born. Ukshinolad, hare mumo, and mo, the rosh kadosh. Derech dofet mikadu, the chorab erum shalom, the boder bishimon, afagab.
Afagab, the father of Masach Nidag, the Yose dofet, Amar hare hu keilot.
He holds Hanev Kiyilud. A cesarean birth, nafkamina. If it's a boy, she's Timea 7 days. If it's a girl, she's Timea 14 days. Regular. Tuma. Then Yoshevet Alav Yemeh.
Tuma Vidhara Hatamhud Rabem.
Ve'im Nekevat Teled. He has extra words in the Pasuk. Ve'im Nekevat Teled, even if she's born cesarean. The Rabot Yosef Dovet Ava, Renyan Kadashim.
Odeshen Kadosh, Dechtem Kiyulan Perat, Yosef Dovet.
Oh, so therefore we have a Raya. Yamara says, no Raya. Why? Hacha b'may askina. You know what the case is? Shehifris al gabe karka.
He's able to stand.
What does that mean? Which means the animal stood. And therefore, once you see the animal standing, so you have no question that there was Yisuke Varim. It could be a normal animal, there is Yisuke Varim. But this case that I was talking about, the animal was able to stand. Look at Rashi. Kegon shefritz agabe karka, ninar, it shook, la'amod, v'tachav parsutav la'amod. Okay. Exactly. Which means you don't need a 24-hour rule. Stood. The animal stood. So again, all the proofs that we're trying to bring, we cannot bring a conclusive proof that what? That birthing canal doesn't cause risuk evari. Okay. We will continue more proofs coming. Gemara continues with statements from the Nachman, Rav Nachman Bet Mitbahayim, in Bomishuk, Risuke Ebarim. In the slaughterhouse, they take the animal before they slaughter, they throw it to the ground in order to make the Shechita. So, that throwing to the ground that the Shechet does in the Bet Mitbahayim does not cause the animal's insides to break. Does not break the bones. There was an animal in the Bet Mitbahayim, in the slaughterhouse, that the Shohet felled it down, and you heard the animal moaning when he fell. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Marta came and he ate from the choice meat of that animal to show that falling did not cause the animal to become a terefa. Amin Rabbanan, min halakha, how do you know to be lenient in such a case? Because the animal was in pain, so something must have happened. Amar lehu, achi amar rav, sipurnav noretz, ad shemagia la'ares. The animal, when it knows it's being toppled down, it holds itself in the ground with its nails. So it breaks the fall. So it's really not falling that hard down to the ground because it's resisting with its feet in the ground until it goes down. So therefore it's really not such a hard fall from a high place. It's more from a lower place. And therefore it does not have the Zukam. It was a pain, but that's all that, yeah. That's all that, yeah. Comes the Gemara and says, so now we got some more rules. If let's say you have a case where the animal fell from the roof, so now the law is like this: if it stood right after it fell, so you don't even have to wait 24 hours, you're able to make the shechita immediately. However, the Gemara says bidika vaday ba'ya, but you have to make a bidika. Which means, although you could slaughter it right away, but after you slaughter it, you have to check the insides to make sure that nothing is broken. When normally you don't have to check an animal. Normally you only have to check the lungs and some key spots, but you don't have to check the whole animal. Here you have to make a thorough check. If it got up and walked, then you don't even need a bidika. That means it's for sure okay. You just have to make the shechita, and it's okay. The b'chaya b'ra she'amar, achadzu v'achadzu sericha b'dika. B'chaya said, no, they both need b'dika. Even when the animal gets up and walks, since bottom line, it fell off the roof, he still needs the b'dika. Amar v'yirmiya b'ra ha'mar rab, pashta yadal la'amod, afa pi shelo amda, which means, even if it just stuck its leg out, in order to walk, or to stand, even though it didn't stand, that's already considered enough where you can make the shechita. You don't have to wait 24 hours. Akra ragla, even if it put its foot forward, lehalich, to walk, even though it actually didn't walk, that's again, you don't even need to wait the 24 hours, you can do the shechita, and you don't even have to make a bidika. The Rav Chasda amar, ni'ara la'amod. He goes even a step further, more lenient. That means even if the animal it shook its leg, didn't extend it, just shook its leg in order to stand up, that's when he considered enough, and therefore you can slaughter within 24 hours. You don't have to wait the 24-hour period. Skip the parentheses, as we have a parenthetical. Okay, it's good to read this Rashba over here. The Rashba summarizes the halakhot that we just learned from this sugya. Number one, behemah shekafsa midatam b'makom gavoa, jumped on its own will from a high place. You don't have to wait 24 hours. You don't need a bidika because you assume that the animal gauges its ability when it jumps, and therefore protects itself when it falls, and therefore no problem. If, let's say, it fell unwittingly from a place that's higher than Tentefahim, that's a terefa, because you got to assume that its bones broke, unless it stood up within 24 hours. As long as it stood up, then you can slaughter it right away. However, if it did stand up, or you waited 24 hours, the halakha is still, you're allowed to slaughter it after 24 hours, or it stood up right away, you could slaughter, but you need a shechita. I mean, you need a bidika. That's correct. If it walked, you don't even need a bidika. אם הוא פולא על ידי אחרים פתאום במקרה של אלים המנגחים זה את זה. Let's say the case where the two animals were fighting with each other, so we said one animal caused the other one to fall, so that's the din of nefula, because he does it with a strong way, he downed them in a strong way. אם הוא שלחה על מותניה, okay, that was the case of the thieves, they threw it in a way where it lands on its legs and not where it's going to cause the issue covering, it's okay. Okay, then you have the slaughterhouse case. The slaughterhouse case where you threw it down the floor, but you see that it protects itself on its feet from its nails, right? So it doesn't fall so hard. So that's going to be okay as well. Okay, let's go to the next one. Amar HaMemor. Mishtemeh de Ravdimi min Harda Nefula She'amru. Okay, this that we said Nefula, they need a bedika. Let's say, if it stood up, because we said halakha, you have to check it either way. If it stood up, or let's say you waited 24 hours. If you wait 24 hours, halakha says it's also okay, even if it didn't stand up. As long as the animal's still alive after 24 hours, you can make a shechita. But you need a bidika. What are you checking? Sidika bidika keneged b'nei me'ayim. You have to go to the innards. The b'nei me'ayim is the intestines, the length of the intestines, to make sure that the keres, the stomach area, was not torn apart, and the intestines were not punctured as a result of the fall. Amar lemor zutra, hakemrin mishemed rapapa, tzidika bidika keneged bet halal kulo. Not only the intestines, he says, the whole inside of the animal, which is even the area of the tzilaot, which is the ribs, to make sure that none of the tzilaot, the ribs broke, and none of the discs, called them the chuliot, the vertebrae. None of the vertebrae broke as well. Amale una mor bar bered Rav Nehemiah Rav Asher simanim mai. What about the kanen deveshet? Do you need to make a special bidika on the pipe, the windpipe, and the esophagus? Oh, to make sure that they weren't uprooted. Not you're checking for a hole or something like that. No, Joe was after checking. That's a good question. That is a good question. Don't you always have to check it? Well, the Gemara says, "Amar le'simanim kashim emetz nefila." You don't have to check them for this, because they're hard when it comes to nefila. They don't get damaged when it comes to the nefila. So I guess no, unless there's a reason to suspect, you don't have to check them. Yeah, that she says, "Sheman yakeru." Okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Off. Now we're going to the birds. Shenichbat al pnei ha'mayim. It landed on the water, but a hard landing. It crashed into the water. It banged in the water. Kivan sheshat b'lo komato. As long as it can still swim, it can swim its own height, the height of its body. So if it swims that distance, then already you know it didn't break any bones because it could swim. Dayo, that's enough. That's like walking. That's like walking by an animal where you say it's okay. This is only talking about where they're swimming against the current, where it needs to exert strength to go against the current. But if they're swimming with the current, it's the water. The water is pushing it. So it's no proof. But let's say it's a lake where the water is flat. There's no current. Let lanba. Then it doesn't matter which side the bird is going, because he's not getting any help from any current. But even if he's swimming, let's say, in the direction of the current, but he precedes wood. I mean, there's a piece of wood floating in the water, and he's able to swim past the wood. So that shows you already that he's swimming faster than the current. So that already, hakadme, you see, he went ahead of it, and therefore that's a proof that he must be he must be okay. From here, the rabbis learn an ethical lesson of Musad, that for a bird to be kosher, it has to be able to swim against the current. So similarly, by a human being, if you want to know the kashrut of the person, he has to be willing to go against the prevailing current of whatever society is, then it shows he's kashir. But if he just goes with everybody else, that's no proof that he has his loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gilima matiyah hayshinan. If let's say they took a talit and they flattened it out like a roof, they held out the talit so it was tight, and now the chicken fell, the bird fell on this spread out talit. So the Gemara says hayshinan. You have to suspect, because I guess it's taut. It's very taut. You're holding the talit tight, so it makes it like very, very, very hard. Not very hard. Hard enough that the bird can get the suk evarim. Lo matiyah lo chayshinan. But if you didn't pull the talit totally out, so it's not taut, so then we don't have to worry about it. Of umu'upaf lo chayshinan. However, if the talit is folded, even if you're holding it taut, it's okay. Mi'upah, why? Because it's cushioned. So therefore, it's not going to be so hard. Even if the bird fell on it, it'll be okay. Now the Gemara is just going to go into all different things that if the bird falls on it, is it problem or not? Here we go. Izla umekarbe ketre ayshinam. If let's say it fell on a net, a trap, that's like a bird trap, I guess we'll call it, and it has all chutin, all knots, so a lot of knots. So you wear, when it goes into the net, it flies into the net, the knots are tight, and therefore could cause it to get risuke evadim. Lo mikadbe ketre lo hachin. But if the knots are not close to each other, so the net itself, we're not worried about that it's going to cause risuke evadim. Kitna David betune hayshinan. If let's say it fell on a pishtan is flax that was made into bundles. So then you have to be hoshish. The flax is hard, and therefore bundled flax it broke something. The haygisa. But if it fell on the side of the bundles, you don't have to worry. See the picture on the bottom. We have a picture over here. They give you a picture to see a bundle of flax. They fell on the top of it, it's hard. If on the sides of it, it's soft enough where you're not worried about it getting hurt. Lo hayshinan. Isuliyata hayshinan. If it fell on a bundle of reeds, reeds, I guess, are hard. Kitna didayik v'napis lo hayshinan. If it fell on flax that was pounded and combed. Okay, so it's strewn on the ground. You don't have to worry about it because it's soft. After they comb it, it's soft. Dayik velo nafitz hayshinan. However, if it's strewn on the ground, but they did not comb it, so then you have to worry about there's some hard spots still left in the flax, and therefore when it lands on it, it's going to break something. De'avid bizreh. But bizreh, it's made into different piles. The pishtan, I guess it's spread out and it's also combed. The avid bizreh, but it's made in like small piles. Kevan di'ika beketre hayshinan. Since there are knots in the pishtan, they have to be hoshesh. Dakta hayshinan. That's, what's dakta? Shibre giv'odim and ifradim in a pishtan. When they comb it, so the stuff that they comb out from the flax, that's hard. So they fell on the givolim. What does it call that in English? The shives, they call it. Okay. Yeah, that's the stuff that when they comb out the flax, that's what they have. Dakta, as opposed to dakta, this is dakta, Lo chayshinan. That is the fine shives, I guess, that comes out of the pishtan that you're not suspecting. Navra chayshinan. That's the sieve that grows around the palm tree. How does he call that? Navra. Have you an English word for that?
Palm best.
The palm best, of course, which grows around the palm tree. So that's, you're worried that it's hard stuff, so it's going to break its bones. Timhata lo hashinan. But after they string it, and they make it into the tsu'ot, they make it into like a rope, so then you don't have to worry about it. Kitma nihila hashinan. Kitma's ashes. If it's, they sifted the ashes, so then already it's hard. Lo ni'ala lo hashina, but if it was not sifted, you don't have to suspect. Chol hadak lo hashinan. What is chol? Sand. Fine sand. No problem. It's, it just slides right off. The sand is very, very smooth. I guess the sand itself is smooth and it doesn't clump together, therefore doesn't become hard. However, holagas, that's the coarse sand. You have to worry there might be like stones in there and pebbles. That when it falls, it'll break something. Avak derachim hashinan. Well, that's the dust that's on the ground, like on the roads, dirt on the roads. You have to be hoshesh. Tibna, tibna, I guess, is straw. Tibna va'avid bizga. Hashinan. So he says it will be the straw that comes from wheat or barley that's made into a pile. So you have to hashesh. Lo avid bizga lo hashinan. But if you didn't pile it up, straw itself, you don't have to worry. Hiteh bekol deminayu hashinan. If it fell on wheat, or for that matter, any species of wheat. Species of wheat would be like rye. There's different species of the wheat. So it's hard. So they have to be hoshesh, sa'ale v'chol diminayu hashinan, barley, and all the different types of barley, you would have to be hoshesh, kol mine kitniyot, that's all types of beans that fell on them, en bahem mishum l'suke evarim, no problem of the suke evarim, because I guess they are they're smooth, and they don't, you know, pile up next to each other to make it a hard surface, lebad min rubia. Except for the rubia. The rubia is the?
Fenugreek.
Oh, he calls it the fenugreek. Okay. Fenugreek, I guess, piles together and becomes hard. Hemse. Hemse is?
Peas.
Peas. That's right. Well, peas are not a problem. They're round. So they don't pile together. They roll. En bo mishum l'tzuke ebarim. Exactly. Hefse, you would call, I guess, hummus, which is the chickpeas. No, that's a problem. Yesh bo mishum l'tzuke ebarim. Because they're really not round so much like the peas, and therefore they come together, they become hard. Klala de Miltan, bottom line on this over here, kol midid de mishrik, anything that is slippery, that doesn't combine together, en bo mishum disuke evarim, lo mishrik, but if it doesn't slip, so therefore it combines together to make a hard surface. Yishbo mishum risug evarim. Okay, now the Gemara goes on to another point. Dibuk. What is dibuk? That's literally glue. What they do is they put glue on a piece of wood. So the bird goes flying, gets attached to the wood now. They stuck, that's how they catch the bird. Mm-hmm. Now he ends up, sometimes he's flying with this piece of wood now on his, on himself. So the Gemara says, you have this piece of wood that's attached to his wings. And as a result, the bird falls to the ground. So the Ravashe Shari. The Ravashe says, okay, that's no problem still. The bird's okay. Amimor Asar. The Gemara says, what's the machloket? Behad gapa de kula alma lo peligi de shari. If it's only got on one wing, the piece of wood and it fell, everybody's going to say it's mutar. Why? Because it's able to break its fall with the other wing. The other wing still can, navigate a little. The Ma'alok is, if let's say the wood went on both wings. Man de Asar, the opinion that says Asur Amalach Hechi Nikum. How is the bird going to be able to go free? Which means one wing is not going to do anything, and therefore the fall is a strong fall. Uman de Shali Amalach Efshad Nikum Agved de Kapeh. Is able to lift himself a little with the tips of the wing that's not damaged, and therefore that's such a big fault. Next shitas is vika de amre betrega pekul amal lo peligi de asir. Everybody says if it's on two wings, for sure it's going to be asud. That's not the question. Whereas we just had over here betrega pe machloket. One rabbi said the tips of the wing he can break himself. The fool. He said, no. Terega pe, two wings, for sure it's no good. Ki peligi behad gapa. The malach is going to be on one wing. Man de shadi hamalach, if shadi parach behad gapa, he'll tell you can fly with one. Man de asad, ki man de behind lo matse parach, behind nam lo matse parach. Once when you can't fly with one wing, you can't fly with the other wing. El keta, terega pe asir, had gapa, shadi, two wings asur, one wing mutar. Baruch, adonai le'olam, ve.